Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. Whether you're a new listener or have been subscribing since the beginning, we're glad that you're here. Please continue to tell your friends about the podcast. Our listenership grows through your help. And remember that you don't need an iPod to listen. Any computer with speakers will do. This week, Rabbi Schweiger will discuss Parshat Titzaveh. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as a Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
This week's parsha is Parsha Titzaveh, which focuses on the institution of the priesthood. I would like to specifically examine chapter 28, which discusses the priestly garments. In the beginning of the chapter, chapter 28, verse 2, we are told, V'yasita vigdei kodesh le'aharon achicha lechavod uletif'aret. You shall make priestly garments to Aaron your brother for dignity and splendor. And then it goes on to say in verse 4, Eile habagadim asher ya'asu. These are the garments that they shall make. The choshen, the ephod, the me'il, ktonet tashbetz, mitznefet v'avnet. And you shall make these holy garments for Aaron your brother and for his sons to serve me with these garments. The garments listed in this verse are garments which Aaron wears. When we look at the end of the chapter, we're told in verse 40, V'livnei Aharon taseh chutanot, and to the sons of Aaron you shall make chutanot. V'asita lahem avnetim, make to them avnetim. Migbaot taseh lahem, lichavod ulitifaret. And migbaot you shall make to them, for honor and for splendor. The beginning of the parsha lists six articles of clothing that are worn by Aaron. The end of the parsha lists three articles of clothing worn by his sons. In fact, Aaron's sons, the regular priests, wear an additional article of clothing, four, which is described in verse 42. Va'aseh lahem michnesei vad, and make for them pants of fine linen, lechasot besar erva, to cover the flesh of their nakedness, mimotnayim va'ad yirechayim yihyu, from their loins to their thighs they shall be. So that, in fact, a regular priest wears four articles of clothing. The high priest wears the six articles described in the beginning of chapter 28. In addition, he has two more articles of clothing, altogether eight. One being the michnasayim, mentioned a moment ago, and the other is the tzitz, which is mentioned in verse 36. Va'asita tzitz zahav tahor. You shall make a tzitz, pure gold. Ufi tachta alav pituchei chotam, and you shall engrave on it, kodesh lashem, holy to God. Let us first examine the different articles of clothing. The four garments worn by a regular priest, going from the inside to the outside. Firstly, the pants, the michnasayim, which cover his nakedness. The michnasayim are not actually pants, but would be boxer shorts, undergarments that are on his skin to cover his nakedness. On top of the michnasayim is a kutonet, a tunic, which completely covers his body from head to toe, long-sleeved. On the kutonet, he wears an avnet, which is a belt. Not the belts that we have with a clasp. A belt which is a sash wrapped around his body. According to rabbinic tradition, 32 cubits in length, the numerical value of lev, of one's heart. The purpose of the belt being to separate the upper part of his body from the lower part of his body. And on his head, he wears a migbat, a sort of turban, also made out of a sash, which is wrapped around. What characterizes the garments of a regular priest is that they are made out of fine linen. They are white. Although there is a discussion in the Talmud regarding the belt, according to one opinion, which is made out of wool, dyed wool, blue, purple, red, for the moment, let's work with the opinion that says it is made out of white, so that all of the garments of a regular priest are linen garments. The Kohen Gadol, the high priest, has four additional garments. And once again, going from the inside to the outside, on top of his kutonet, he wears a me'il, a cloak, which is made of wool dyed blue. On the bottom of the me'il are pa'amonim v'rimonim, pomegranates and bells, which make a sound as he walks, so that his presence is known everywhere he goes. On top of the me'il is an ephod, a design garment, which looks a little bit like an apron, made out of dyed wool. On the ephod is placed the choshen, the breastplate. The breastplate consists of 12 stones, corresponding to the 12 tribes, 12 precious stones. And the last article of clothing is the tzitz, a headband made of gold, attached to his turban, upon which is engraved Kodesh Lashem, holy to God. Note that the head covering of the high priest is called a mitznefet, because its shape is different than that of a regular priest. The mitznefet is a flat top head covering. The migbat is long and comes to a point. Both articles of clothing, namely, whether that of the regular priest or that of the high priest, are described as being lichavod uletifaret. Nachmanides, in his commentary, explains that lichavod uletifaret means that these are garments of royalty. I would like to take this explanation, but slightly modify it. Before I do so, let me just note the verse which appears at the very end of this section. This is chapter 28, verse 43, where it says, "And these garments shall be on Aaron and his sons when he comes into the tent of meeting, or when he comes near to the altar to serve in the holy, and they will not bear a sin and die. This shall be an everlasting statute to him and his sons after him." This verse teaches us that Aaron is not allowed to enter the holy, to come near to the altar, unless he wears these clothes. He is not allowed to do the service unless he wears these clothes. Entering without the clothes is a capital offense. He will bear a sin and die. Doing service without the clothes disqualifies the service. Although the Kohanim were chosen to be the ones who officiate in the tabernacle, later on in the temple, they need to wear the clothes to officiate. To put it differently, the clothes make the man. Without the clothes, they do not have the special status of being Kohanim. They do not have the holiness of the Kohen. They do not have the appreciation of what their role truly is. Now let us go back to what does it mean to say that these clothes are lechavod ulitifaret? I translated kavod and tiferet as being honor and dignity. Excuse me, dignity and splendor. Honor and splendor. But what does that mean? I would like to connect this with comments that I have made in the beginning of Breishit. Specifically, Rabbi Soloveitchik's view of human beings, the creation of human beings in chapter 1 and 2. So let me refer back to what I mentioned in a previous podcast. The role of a human being, the state of a human being, is the dialectic of majesty and humility. In chapter 1, humanity is created in the image of God. They are given the mandate to rule over the world. That is an expression of our majesty. In chapter 2, God places the Adam in the Garden of Eden, la'ovda ulishomra, to serve it and guard it. God commands him to eat of all the fruits, but to abstain from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Chapter 2 highlights the aspect of humility. One's relationship before God. God is the king, I am the servant. God commands, I follow the orders. And so that the role of a human being is to be this interface between God and the world. To be the one who rules the world, but brings the world into service with God. And this is the role of the Kohen. Tiferet, splendor. Splendor is what Nachmanides said. These are garments of royalty that reflect his grandeur, his majesty. But these are also garments of kavod that reflect his dignity, but his dignity in the sense of his humility before God. When the Kohen serves in the Mishkan, he plays a dual role. When he stands before God, he should be in awe of God. He should have a profound sense of humility. That is the kavod. But vis-a-vis the people, he should project an image of majesty. That is his tiferet. The garments worn by every priest, the four garments, in many ways highlight the idea of humility. And let me just focus on two of the garments. The Michnasayim and the Migba'at, or the Mitznefet. The Michnasayim, the pants, which are really boxer shorts, are supposed to cover his nakedness, are supposed to make him sense that when he stands before God, he should stand before God modestly. Perhaps to illustrate this, when Adam and Eve eat of the tree of knowledge, when they aspire to be godlike, when they do an act which is defiant and which is overassertive in terms of their majesty, the result of that act is for them to be aware, very acutely aware, of their nakedness, going to the extreme of wanting to be godlike. makes them realize how vulnerable, how low, how ashamed they really are. And they try to cover up their nakedness with fig leaves. But God clothes them with tunics, kotnot, the same word that we find by the priests, of ore, skin tunics. These skin tunics restore their dignity, but it also gives them a sense of modesty. At the same time that it covers them up, that it hides their sexual organs, it also restores their human dignity and enables them to have a relationship with God. The mikbaat is understood by the rabbis in many places as a way of a person acknowledging that God is above them, as a way of somehow circumscribing their head, as a way of understanding and instilling in them fear of God, awe of God. These are two articles of clothing. And I could add the kutonet, as we see in the case of chapter 3 in Bereishit. These are articles of clothing that make the person, the Kohen, aware that he is standing before God, and as such should have humility before God. The additional garments worn by the high priest, which have silk, which have gold, and have dyed wool, blue and purple, which were in fact garments worn by royalty, create an aura of majesty. But let me note that even the simple garments, although they reflect humility, were in fact precious garments. We are told that the high priest on Yom Kippur could not enter the Holy of Holies in his regular garments, but could only wear the white garments. And yet the Mishnah, Masechet Yoma, chapter 3, Mishnah 7, describes that there's an argument as to what is the value, how much do these garments cost? And the sums discussed in the Mishnah are astronomical, which means that the same garments have a simplicity about them. They're white, and yet at the same time are garments of royalty. And I would add the flip side, that the garments that are garments of splendor, the extra garments of the high priests, are not meant to be ostentatious, but should also have that sense of simplicity. So now let me come back to what I mentioned earlier. The garments of the priest, of the high priest, are supposed to make him aware of his dual role, of his role before God and of his role vis-a-vis the people. Ultimately, the garments of the Kohanim become a model for us of clothing. What clothing do we wear? How does that clothing sensitize us in terms of our relationship to God and our relationship to the people around us? Let me illustrate this by showing you an interesting parallel. The high priest wears the tzitz on his forehead, upon which is engraved, "Holy to God." The tzitz is made out of gold. As I mentioned earlier, it is a precious item. It has the splendor. And yet at the same time, by what is engraved upon it, "Holy to God," is making the Kohen very much aware of his subordination to God. The tzitz in many ways is parallel to the tefillin. There is an interesting comment in the Talmud which says, based on a verse from Deuteronomy, "When the nations of the world will see that the name of God is upon you, they will be in awe of you." And Rabbi Eliezer said this is a reference to the tefillin of the head. The tefillin worn on the head, which according to the text is supposed to be between your eyes. And although the rabbinic understanding is you don't wear it on your forehead, you wear it on the top of your head. But on the top of your head, corresponding to the point, which is between your eyes, were you to draw a line below. The tefillin are supposed to generate a sense of awe among the nations when they see us wearing the tefillin. But the same tefillin are supposed to make us very much conscious of our covenantal relationship with God. A kippah, which became a normative practice in the Middle Ages for men to wear, has its origins in the priestly garments, and eventually later on in the head covering worn by rabbis, or perhaps married men, during the time of the Talmud. It is a way of identifying someone. You are a God-fearing person. By wearing that article of clothing, you make a statement about who you are. In fact, I know that there are men who do not want to wear kippot because they don't want to project that image and find it very offensive to do so. What we wear is a statement both to us and to the world outside us, who we are. Let me just add two more examples. When Jacob puts on the clothing of his brother, he receives the blessing from his father Yitzchak. Wearing that clothing is not just a way of tricking his father, but wearing that clothing ultimately means to Jacob that he's taking on a role which will enable him to carry on the covenant, a role which somehow complements his personality. He is no longer the man of the tent, but he's also the man of the field. When Jacob gives Joseph the ketonet pasim, the ketonet is a sign of his role in the family, his leadership role. Clothing plays a big part in the life of Joseph. Ultimately, Pharaoh clothes him as a way of showing he is the second to the king. How much do we think about what we wear? How much do we ask ourselves, what is the statement that we are making to ourselves and the world around us? Do our clothes really dignify us? Do we eliminate our clothes? And I would like to end with a very interesting comparison that you have in the book of Esther. In the beginning of the book, chapter 1, verse 3, verse 4, excuse me. It says that when Ahasuerus made a party for all of his princes and servants, in verse 4, he is showing off the wealth of the honor of his kingdom and the splendor of his greatness, the heaviness of the splendor of his greatness. In chapter 1 of Megillat Esther, there is an elaborate description of all the tapestries and all the wealth, the silver, the gold, all of the different utensils. There is actually a rabbinic comment that says that when Ahasuerus is showing off Tiferet Gedulato, the splendor, what was he showing off? He was showing off the utensils that he had captured from the temple. And another opinion says he was wearing the priestly garments. What happens in the beginning of Megillat Esther is a total inversion of last week's parsha and this week's parsha. I mentioned last week that the utensils in the tabernacle are precious utensils, which have a symbolic meaning to somehow give us a sense of what our role in the world is. Today I mentioned how the garments of the priest are supposed to give the priest a sense of what his role is, and perhaps to give us a sense of what clothing should mean to us. In the court of Ahasuerus, everything is put on display. There is a tremendous drive to assert the majesty, to assert the splendor, to impress, to glitter. But what's lacking is the humility. What's lacking is the dignity. Perhaps there are things I shouldn't put on display. Perhaps I shouldn't be accentuating, this is mine. Look at what I have accomplished. But I should be constantly thinking about, what does God want me to do with what I have? Instead of always putting myself on center stage, to place God, community, on center stage, to see myself in the background as someone who is fulfilling a duty. There are two worlds, two worldviews that are clashing here. In the world of Ahasuerus, there is no balance. There is splendor without dignity. And for those who don't have the splendor, they also have no dignity. In Judaism, the ideal is that everyone should have dignity and splendor. That somehow we should all be able to have garments of splendor. We should all have that sense of majesty. And yet at the same time, we need to root it in a profound sense of humility. We shouldn't have that attitude of, when you got it, flaunt it. But that we should realize that we are always standing before God. And that should somehow circumscribe, contextualize our splendor. Shabbat Shalom, Purim Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your email via podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.